Hey everyone, welcome back to the More Plants podcast. I'm so happy to have you here listening in today. Thank you so much to all of you who tuned into our announcement episode. In our previous one, we gave you some news and told you a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes at Bramble, what the future of Bramble is going to look like, what's coming. And I can't thank you enough for tuning into that. I can't thank you enough for reaching out, letting us know how excited you are for some of the changes that are coming. It means the world to me that you're here and you're with us after all of these years. And thank you for listening and for always hanging out with us. It's very special and important to us. Now, today we're continuing on with our Why Vegan series, which we slightly interrupted for those big announcements. We've talked about some of the research regarding the benefits that eating a vegan diet can have on your health and on the environment in our previous two installments in this brand new and updated version of one of our most beloved and downloaded series. But now we are stepping into the why that made me go vegan so many years ago, and the area in which I feel going vegan has the biggest impact. The why that created this movement in the first place, and for me at least, the one reason in which no matter how you look at it, how you analyze it, there is just no way to justify or explain the practices used to get animals on our plates. In today's installment of the series, with so many new resources and stories and statistics and updates on my own view of this side of our eating lives, I will be talking about what happens to animals in the industries that profit from them and how there is, thankfully, another way. Hi there, and welcome to More Plants, a vegan podcast by Bramble that helps you start, continue, and enjoy eating plant-based for your health, the animals, and the planet. I'm Kim Sujovalski, your host and certified plant-based cook and educator. In this podcast, you'll find all the practical tips, resources, and support you'll need to make your journey easy and sustainable, no matter where you are along this path. To learn more about our online courses, recipes, and blog, visit bramble.com. And now, let's dive into today's episode. Seeing what was going on with animals in our agriculture system was the thing that made that switch go off in my head. It was the motivation I needed to make this change, and it was the first step after which I dove into the research of whether or not we can be healthy on a vegan diet, because this was so long ago that it was so away. So far away from the mainstream, I actually had that question, which I hope that a lot of people are much clearer on now that so much information about the benefits of eating this way are out there. And I had to do that bit of research. And when the answer to that question was a huge yes, yes, you can be healthy on a vegan diet. Yes, you can get all the nutrients. Yes, you can have a social life. And yes to all of that, I was in, and I never looked back. That was over 11 years ago at the time I'm recording this, which is 2024. This episode is brought to you by our online course, The Roadmap. The Roadmap is an online course that will help guide the way if you're newly vegan, thinking of becoming vegan, or wanting to take more steps in this direction. Module by module, we take you by the hand through every step, covering topics like finding your motivation and having the right mindset when making this change, to how to build a nutritionally balanced plate, how to shop, prep, stay on budget, plan your meals, travel, get organized, and navigate every social situation as a vegan, and so many others. There is no stone left unturned, and we do it all with that approach you love so much, in which missteps are welcome, and there is no such thing as perfection. And of course, it includes the most delicious recipes and menu ideas. There is so much more included in this course, so head on over to bramble.com/the-roadmap to watch our video trailer, to see the full list of modules, lessons, and recipes, pricing, and more. Again, that's bramble.com/the-roadmap. Now, on with the show. Benefits of going vegan when it came to animals was such a powerful motivation for me simply because I, you know, when I learned about what was really going on in the industry, not as an exception, but as a standard practice, almost everywhere. And keep in mind that most investigations that come out and most statistics that come out, they happen in countries that are always in the top of the list of countries with the most animal protection laws. I just couldn't believe that it was possible. And if this was happening in places where a lot of, let's say, I want to put everything that I'm going to say, all of this in quotes, but where these laws and these practices were much closer, looked like, and big, big air quotes around this, and you'll understand why as we move along. But if this was happening in these countries, what is happening in places where we aren't looking as closely? And I couldn't believe that it was possible. I couldn't believe that these practices were even legal. I couldn't believe that companies, governments, entire systems behind food politics and policies could have us contributing to such cruelty without releasing information on what's actually going on. This was a very naive thought on my part because, of course, informing the public of what is standard practice and what also happens when the laws that have been passed aren't enforced would be economic suicide for so many industries. I had a much more childlike view when I first made this change and was sincerely horrified. I'm still horrified, but when I first made the change, I just felt I had been tricked into paying for practices I could never do myself or even stand behind. What I know now is it's our responsibility to look into our own habits and the impact they have. But I know that I, for one, felt completely duped. I felt cheated. I felt lied to because the truth of what happens to animals is so hard to even comprehend that I honestly wish my meat had come with a disclaimer like a pack of cigarettes. Instead, from the moment we hear the first nursery rhyme at school about animals and farms, we begin this process of believing in a system that, for the most part, doesn't exist. And I know I, for one, found it very practical to live blissfully unaware of these issues. I know I would have made this choice sooner had I known what was truly going on, but I also know that we have our own sets of resistance because many of us, for the fear this change will bring, will prefer not to see and not to know. And I understand that, but and that was me. But I am so grateful, even though this knowledge came with a price. And by price, I'm not talking about skipping animal products and changing my diet, but I'm talking about the knowledge that cruelty to animals happens systemically and all around us and because of our purchasing choices. But I was grateful. I am grateful that I came upon this information. It has been one of the most special changes I have ever made in my life. Wishing I had known this sooner, which is something you've probably heard in every single vegan podcast you've ever listened to, that is water under the bridge, right? I am telling you this because I want you to understand how I felt in case you are feeling similarly. I also want you to know, in case you're new in this space we call Bramble, that I understand that making these changes can feel daunting. I understand that hearing about these issues is thoroughly disturbing. And I know that even when we know, some habit changes continue to have some resistance within us, and we're still grappling with that. It's one of the hardest things in the world, with us being a deeply social species, to go against the grain on anything. So I know and I understand. I also don't share this information to try to convince you or convert you or with any expectations. Like I always tell you, the only way any changes will last and work is if you are firmly in the driver's seat, making the choices that are right for you and going at whatever pace you need to. But I am very grateful to the people who, with a lot of kindness, introduced me to the facts and introduced me to a different way. And so I hope I can be that opening of the gate for you, and you can take this to where you can take it, going on your own path from there. And I'm going to leave you plenty of resources so that you can continue exploring and learning more. Now, here's some good news. Our bodies are very complicated machines, and yet we're seeing more and more benefits to eating a plant-based diet with every study that comes out. But of course, a lot of other factors come into play. Our environment is also a complex machine, where we've also talked about the many benefits of eating in this way. But again, a lot of other factors, many other factors come into play when it comes to our environment and our environmental resources. Both of these big reasons why people go vegan are highly nuanced, and so many other factors are a part of it. But when it comes to animals, every single choice we make differently, every single one has such a straightforward impact. And yes, of course, we still need a lot to happen from the top down. For example, ending the government subsidies on these sectors that often rescue flailing industries that have stopped turning a profit, which means some of these companies continue to produce and produce even when there isn't enough of a market for some of these products anymore. But apart from this, and this is important to take into consideration, and we need to continue to work on this, but with the choices of so many of us turning to plant-based options instead of animal-based options, so much is changing. When we make a different choice, it creates an impact on our day-to-day, on the people that see us and feel inspired to make some changes, on the people that find it weird and then do a little bit of research, and then it's like taking the red pill from the Matrix. On the servers that make note of what people are requesting, on restaurant options offered, in the offerings in stores and markets, in the supply and demand chains, even in full-on animal-based operations that have transitioned entire farms into plant-based farming operations. And every change, every inching of the arrow in the right direction is going to mean change for animals. With every carton of plant-based milk you buy instead of cow's milk, you're making a difference for animals. With every can of lentils for a meat-free option you buy, you make a difference. With every plant-based burger you buy instead of the meat-based kind, you're making a difference. With every tub of non-dairy ice cream you buy instead of the dairy-based ice cream, you're making a difference. With every time you go to a restaurant and ask them to leave out the cheese, or if they have a vegan option, you are making a difference. Every little choice you make helps, and the more choices you make, the more you're contributing to a new way that is changing so many things in this world that desperately needs a little makeover. I've told you before that finding your why is so important to sticking to a new change. We don't do things unless we are properly motivated to do it. And really facing what the truth was behind the animal agriculture system was crucial for me. Nothing else had done it. I had to see it. Ultimately, for me, it was the images, the video footage, and seeing them with my own eyes that made me make the change. But I was able to do it because a little bit before I actually dared to see the footage, I had not seen but read about what was going on with animals, and I started thinking more and more about the idea. Reading before watching the images, or listening to what goes on before looking at images, it can help. Reading before watching was the first step that I needed. Otherwise, I probably would have looked away, not wanting to know more, not wanting to see more. I needed a bit of preparation beforehand. I'm a very sensitive person. This imagery is traumatizing, to say the least. So that's what I want to do now. I want to explain the situation to you through this recording in audio rather than video, so that you can take that first step without it feeling too overwhelming to start with. And of course, I'm going to be doing it in the kindest way I know how, The idea is never to traumatize you or shock you, but to teach and help you feel inspired and motivated, or at the very least, to just be aware of what's going on. And I'm going to give you the most PG version I can while still being able to show you the information and the truth of what happens. And all of these things that I'm going to mention, they come from the footage I've seen with my own eyes, and that has never, ever left me. I will also recommend some films and books towards the end of the series that can help you go further. We're dividing the animals into three different episodes, and towards the end, I'll be recommending so much to you if and when you're ready to learn a little bit more or to watch things, which is what did it for me. I know if someone had forced me or pushed me to watch and learn about these issues, I wouldn't have found it helpful. So if you're up for it, continue to listen. If it's not the right time, know that it is here waiting for you when you're ready. But I do want you to keep in mind that we contribute to these practices, to this cruelty, whether we're aware of it or not, if we purchase these products. So at the very least, we can be informed and we can bear witness to what the billions of animals and trillions, if we talk about sea animals, that we kill for food every year, what they have to go through, what they actually have to endure with their own bodies to land on those supermarket shelves and on our plates. All we see is a styrofoam package wrapped in plastic, and this is a helpful separation from what really goes on when producers don't want us to see or know. But a lot happens behind closed doors and far away from our cities, so we're never exposed to it, and also to the detriment of humans, which we will also get into further along in this series. Now, the good news is, the great news, really, is that we don't need these foods anymore because now we have another way. Whether we go fully vegan this minute or it takes us a while, there is another way. And so there is an option for you if what comes out the other end of listening to this or watching the footage or doing your research is that you want to make this change. It's why Carlos and I have spent all of these years doing all of the work that we do. We want to make it easy for you. So if you're ready, we're going to begin. Know that I'll be giving just a brief description in as sensitive way as I can and in as sensitive way as I would have liked to hear it when I was eating these products at every meal and snack. I'll be answering the questions that have to do with why the production of eggs and milk involve cruelty if the animal isn't being killed for meat. That's going to be in our egg and dairy episode. We're going to talk about the debate on fish and many typical questions people have, but the information is quite sensitive and it's tough to get through. So please know that what lies ahead is that so that you're ready for it. We'll be going through it bit by bit throughout the next few installments of the series. And I'm also going to end the last episode on animals on a beautiful and happy note, because we need that after listening to all this information. And I'm going to share what happens when these animals are far away from these industries and are in the wild or in farm or wildlife sanctuaries, and they start living the autonomous life they were designed to live. We're going to start today with the meat industry. When it comes to eating meat, over 60 billion land animals are killed every year for food. And because they are viewed as products, not living sentient beings, they are commodities that need to turn a profit. And that means that the industry needs more, it needs bigger, it needs faster. And as if the simple killing of an animal wasn't already against what the animals deserve, which is to live their life, this pressure to make a profit means that animals suffer greatly in the process. They suffer from pain, malnutrition, disease, lack of freedom, lack of the ability to even move around for weeks at a time in many cases. They suffer thirst and most of the time are kept in the most unsanitary conditions when many of these animals are incredibly clean beings in their natural habitats. They suffer from discomfort, from pain, from abuse, and so much fear. Many of them undergo painful procedures like tail docking, that's the cutting off of most of the tail, dehorning, castration, all done without anesthesia and without painkillers afterwards. And with the fear of knowing what is being done to the animal they have in line right in front of them. Please remember that these are animals who, just like your dog or your cat, who might be terrified of the vet's office, and if they're anything like mine, they will grip that floor when they see they have to go in. These animals know, feel, hear, and they smell that there will be pain inflicted upon them. These painful practices are done in many cases to baby animals, such as piglets, and to older animals as well. All because parts of their bodies hinder the comfort of the workers or get in the way somehow, or in some cases, they help prevent one animal attacking the other because of the extreme stress they are put under. And in some cases, especially when it comes to why some animals are castrated, because doing so will result in better or more tender tasting meat. Again, they are commodities used to turn a profit, so they are seen as objects more than beings. And this is where so much of the abuse takes place and the reason why it takes place. Cows that are meant to live anywhere between 20 to 25 years are killed usually under 3 years of age. Chickens are killed at 6 weeks old when they'd be able to live for 10 years. Pigs might typically be killed at 4 to 6 months of age when they could live 15 years. Lambs are killed anywhere between 3 to 10 months of age when they typically live for 15 years. And we'll discuss baby calves killed for veal when we talk about the dairy industry, since the very cruel veal industry is a byproduct of the milk and dairy we consume. It's not an isolated system, as I used to think, and as many people still believe. These are animals that didn't choose, nor do they give up their lives for us to eat, nor is it, quote unquote, their purpose. They are not here for us to eat. They are here as beings, just like us, just like our dogs and cats and the animals we have and consider beloved and worth protections. Just like you and me and your dog and your cat, they want to live their life. Survival is what is going to be that basic instinct that runs through their experience. Ellen DeGeneres said it wonderfully once in an interview she did with Diane Sawyer about her being vegan. She stated that animal rights really rely on one fact, and it's that animals have the simple right to be left alone. Standard practices of keeping these animals until they reach slaughter age and weight include horrific things like the ones I mentioned before, but also have to do with the ways these animals are kept. Most times overcrowded in unsafe conditions where injuries are left untreated often occur. Many are kept in cages, including the horrible battery cages and gestation crates in which animals can't even move around. Can't turn around. They can't turn over or stretch their legs. Although some of these cages have been banned in some countries, they are sometimes still allowed during part of the raising process, and in all instances, whether gestation crates or cages are used or not, the animals are, of course, still killed. These animals, in many cases, have also gone through horrible physical and psychological abuse from workers. And although it seems like these might be exceptions or isolated cases, they happen time and time again. They often happen in organic farms. They can happen in cage-free facilities and other settings that are not factory farms. Now, of course, factory farming is much worse than non-factory farming, but sadly, in many cases, these farms have not been exempt from many of the practices I mentioned today, many of which are completely allowed and legal, nor from the occurrence of abuse from workers. Now, of course, smaller farms have much better practices than a factory farm operation, but the animals still suffer greatly during transport, even when the farm is idyllic. If it's a tiny family farm that only produces meat enough for their surrounding community, often the animals still suffer during transport. This is a part of the animal agriculture system that has little to no government regulations or protection laws. Many animals die in the process, either due to heat stroke, thirst, hypothermia, injury, suffocation due to overcrowding, and even shock. Regardless of the facility, with perhaps only some very small exceptions, of very tiny farms where the killing is also done on site, all animals go to the same slaughterhouses, where even when government regulations are in place, and we will get into these safeguards and regulations towards the end of the series because it sort of encompasses many of the different foods and animals they stem from. And it's so disturbing because we trust in so many of these labels. So we'll get into those safeguards towards the end. But even when government regulations are in place, even when external companies have regulations or stamps of approval, many animals slip through the system set in place and suffer very painful deaths that are not quick, and they are certainly not painless. They suffer horrible treatment as well, since slaughterhouse workers, and we'll talk about their rights too in this series, they have to move the kill line so quickly that animals who can smell and see what's about to happen to them are also mishandled to get them to submit because they don't want to move further down the line. They know what's at the end. And they are all, of course, killed no matter what facility they came from or what farm they came from. When quote-unquote quicker methods have been applied for the actual killing moment or for paralyzing the animal before killing it, the problem is that many animals move trying to get away, or the kill line moves so quickly that many animals reach places like scalding tanks to remove feathers, for example, while still fully conscious. Same goes for cows who bleed out while fully conscious and without being properly stunned first. These things happen because they are just too many animals, and the speed in the slaughterhouses is such that workers can't fully check for the treatment of these animals. Although nothing, no way of killing animals in our modern day slaughterhouses is, in my opinion, humane. It's such a contradiction. Not when there is another way to eat that is also health supportive for us. As if all that wasn't enough, broiler chickens, for example, and those are the chickens bred for meat, are genetically manipulated and selected to grow to a much bigger size than they should in order to provide more meat, meaning that after just a few weeks, they cannot sustain their own weight, which means many die of heart conditions, suffer broken bones, and these injuries are often left untreated, sometimes because they aren't seen due to the massive amounts of birds in these facilities. And often these birds have to live in cages with other animals that are in excruciating pain, in very close quarters, and very often, and I've seen this countless times in the many investigations that I've seen with my very own eyes, they have to live in cages with animals that have been dead for days. It is so disturbing to me because of the unsanitary conditions animals have to live in many cases. They often require high amounts of antibiotics, not to mention the growth hormones that are injected to make them grow to such sizes. And by the way, antibiotics, and I talked about this a little bit when I talked about veganism and our health, and I talked about zoonotic diseases and antibiotic resistance. Antibiotics are also used to enhance the production. But all of this, the antibiotics, the growth hormones, all of that is in the meat that we eat. Sadly, when antibiotic-free products are bought, this doesn't necessarily mean the animals were healthier or lived in better conditions. It means antibiotics were not used, and animals who were sick or suffered injuries suffered greatly and unnecessarily. So there's a problem no matter what way you look at it. We will circle back to these issues and talk about a question I get a lot regarding more humanely raised meat or small family farms, safeguards and regulations towards the end of the series when we finish talking about all of the different animals and production. And we still have, of course, fish, dairy, and eggs to get through in our next few episodes. But for now, what I want to leave you with is this, since this is our first installment when we talk about animals. When it comes to eating meat, and that might be the meat of cows, of chickens, of lambs, pigs, or any other land animal, because fish will get their turn, I grew up not connecting a shapeless steak or a chicken breast with the animals I loved. I went from that to knowing there was something deeply wrong with the way animals were treated in these industries, but believing the animals killed for meat went through a quick and painless death, and it was just the thing that had to happen in order for me to eat. And then I went from that to learning that there is no such thing, because these animals experience painful, unfair, unclean, unprotected lives. They go through a too early separation of their offspring. They endure painful procedures without the medicine, anesthetics, and care we give our pets without a second thought. They endure forced cycles of reproduction, one after the other, one after the other. In the cases of pigs, including weeks in cages so small they can't turn around, only to be put in a small, similar sized cage the minute the piglets are born during the brief interactions between them before their forceful removal. They are forcefully treated by frustrated, and by forcefully, I mean, I'm trying not to say some of the most graphic and hideous acts of cruelty that I've seen when I've seen these footages. And they are so forcefully treated by frustrated and underpaid workers. They are packed so tightly in transport trucks with no regulations and sometimes the worst conditions, only to reach a place that is straight out of the most horrible nightmares you could muster, where they know what is about to happen, where much of the abuse takes place, and where their life will end. When many of us, so many of us, and I'm not talking about every single person on this planet, but so many of us have the option to make a different choice. When I first went vegan, the thing that did it for me, was looking at the eyes of a cow in a video I saw that was next in line at the slaughterhouse. The cow was going down this kill line. And I've always told people that what made the change happen is that in that second, I saw my dog's eyes so clearly. And that is certainly true. This is how I first made that click, that connection. I saw my dog Nala, my beautiful little spaniel who hated going to the vet, that would do, you know, things that she didn't want to go through, even though they were for her own health. And she was treated with the utmost kindness, and she was pampered with treats and with endless petting. I could recognize that fear. I could recognize that animals deeply feel fear. And this was the image. I can summon it to this day if I think about it, that superimposed image of that terrified cow and how my puppy would feel and how I would protect her with my life. So I knew I had to do something. I knew I had to make this change. Now, what I haven't told you before is something I rarely talk about with people because find it uncomfortable. And I've done a lot of work to leave that part of my life behind me. And I might have never shared it before here. I'm not sure. But it's the fact that that image reminded me of a dynamic that has taken me years to get over. And that is the dynamic of bullying. I was, as so many kids unfortunately are, at the end of the target practice of two moments of bullying throughout my childhood, two different groups of people, two different schools, one much worse than the other, and yet not even close to what I know now so many kids have to endure. There's one thing I've vowed is I will never be a bully. I will never see fear in someone's eyes as I had in mine every day and perpetuate anything that will cause harm. When these animals are under our care, and I use this term generally as in all of us humans, they are there with a physical understanding that they are somehow at our mercy. When I saw what happened to animals because of the food on my plate, I made that choice of never wanting to be that bully, of doing what I could to protect instead of harm. It was fear that got to me. It was seeing that fear in them that got to me. And these animals live in profound fear. So I made a choice to change, and I'm here for you if you need support on this journey to wherever you want to take it. We're going to talk about fish in our next installment in the series. But before I go, I want to thank you for listening. I know this is so hard. I know it is heartbreaking. I know it's tough to have to face what we, and I include myself, have purchased and condoned for many years. There's never any judgment here because I was where you are. And I understand. It's so hard. It's hard to make this decision. And I am still far from perfect, but I will never stop trying my best. Till next time, everyone, thank you so much for bearing witness. Thank you so much for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. It really helps us reach more people who are interested in making more vegan choices and need some support. Remember that you can find all of the show notes, links, and many additional resources for this episode in the description below. And of course, don't forget to visit bramble.com to learn more about our online courses, recipes, and blog posts. Till next time, everyone.